Hello, everybody. Charisse here with a very special announcement. I am thrilled to share that RCAT is now an official AIA continuing education provider. With this remarkable distinction, RCAT has launched RCATemy, a continuing education platform for the busy AEC professional. And here's the really exciting part. You can now earn continuing education credits by doing exactly what you are doing right now. That's right, you can now earn AIA credits by listening to select episodes of Detail. Whether you're working around the house, on your commute, or stuck in a waiting room, just listen, take a brief quiz, and your credit will automatically be recorded with AIA. It's really that simple. Plus, bonus points that much of our content qualifies for that elusive HSW credit. And we all know how valuable those are. What more could you ask for? We aim to please. Find out more at rcat.com/continuing-education or follow the link in our show notes. And thank you for tuning in to the RCAT Detailed podcast. This is an original podcast by RCAT. Try the number one most used website for finding building product information and save time and money. No registration is required with RCAT, so try it today and get ahead on your next project. Visit RCAT.com. That's ARCAT.com. Hi, Charisse here, host of the RCAT Detailed podcast. I recently had the opportunity to join the RCAT team at the AIA Conference on Architecture and Design in Boston. Every year, the AIA and AEC community convenes to network, share knowledge, and discuss today's most pressing issues. On the expo floor, AIA 25 fosters cross-industry collaborations and solutions across the entire spectrum of the AEC industry. I joined RCAT under the Big Red A to speak with several interesting people and companies who are delivering solutions to design a better world. We are bringing those conversations to you here as bonus content. Enjoy. My guest today, and I'm kind of excited because I actually had the opportunity to tour one of their facilities a number of years ago and kind of have a mind-blowing moment at their products. And I don't say that about too many products, I'll tell you that. My guest today is Kevin Black from Free Access. And Kevin, so tell me a little bit about yourself, a short bio. What is your title and what is your role at your company?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Like you said, my name is Kevin Black. I'm the marketing manager at Free Access. So I have been with the company for just under 2 years. I've mostly focused on trade shows, digital marketing, content creation, as well as just general engineering help, shipping help. Basically, I'm a jack of all trades to a certain extent, just making sure that the business can run as well as it can.
Well, I can relate to that because I've kind of just lived a life in this industry of being a jack of all trades. Crossed lines. I'm just a line crosser a lot. But that also makes me, I think, have a very unique lens when I do my job and a more well-rounded lens sometimes. So before, in case people haven't heard of you and your company and your really cool product, because I'm still in love with this, this whole idea. But the first time I'd ever seen anything like it was at your plant. Yeah. So let's tell our listeners exactly what it is that Free Access has to offer the architectural community and what's special about it.
All right. So we have three big systems. The first one is our flagship system is called Grid, which is what you've seen a lot of. It's going to be an adaptive cabling distribution system. So not like your traditional raised floor where it's post and panel and drilled into the ground. It's going to be 100% U.S. steel, actually made very close to Boston in Attleboro, Massachusetts. Held down by gravity, so no nails, screws, bolts, fasteners, and you can pick it up with just a fingertip. Comes in two fixed heights, 2.75 inches or 1.6 inches, and it's mainly for cable and data wire management. So think of if you have a commercial office building where you need to run cables to all of your desks and furniture outside the building, instead of having to do any cable trays through the walls, through columns, through the ceilings, it'll just be at your feet, and whenever you need to make any changes, you can just pick it up with just a fingertip, like I said. And then our other two products are Grid Power, which is a modular power bus system or a field wire system, depending on the building's needs, that instead of having to run it, the cable link through wires, like we said, you can just run it there. And then Grid Mobile, which is our newest app, it is an AR as-built platform. So instead of having to lift everything up to know where your product is, you can take your tablet, phone, go to the desk, put it down to the ground, see exactly where all the wires are without having to lift anything up. So it just makes any flexibility or cable management needs a lot easier.
I still am just so amazed. But and now you've got these tools to make it even easier to use. And I don't understand why I don't see this in every project. I don't care if you have 100 desks in the room or it's just a normal project with your normal things. It seems like such a great way to get all that stuff out of the way in one easy place to get at it.
And it just makes all the future changes so much easier. Like, we have a project for a university in Texas, and every single semester, at least 2 or 3 times, they have to make all changes to desks, wires, their entire curriculum changes. So instead of having to actually do construction every weekend, they just make changes in a few hours and they're good to go. So it just makes it all out easier for anybody, especially facility managers and architects when they're doing the planning process.
So say I'm specifying your product for a project. I don't often get feedback from the field if I did something wrong in my specs or I didn't quite cover all the bases for, especially if it's a new system I've never specified before. And if I don't get the feedback, then I don't do better the next time.
Yeah.
I don't grow. What are some of the issues you see in architect specifications that by having a conversation with me, you're going to teach me that you got to think about this and you got to cover the space?
Yeah, I would say for us, we're in a very niche market where there's not really anybody else who does metal access flooring like we do. So one thing that we notice a lot of is substitution that don't make a lot of sense. So we have, I won't say any other company names, but we have been substituted out for products that don't necessarily do what we do in terms of cable flexibility, adaptability when it comes to our power or our mobile app. So a lot of substitution is one thing we see a lot of, and just understanding all of our specifications in terms of like seismic rating, electrical rating, fire rating, any acoustic testing we have. We see a lot of it kind of like goes under the radar because in our market, not a lot of companies have that or not a lot of products have that. I would say just making sure that the focus on the data behind it is something that we've seen architects kind of struggle in the past with.
So what kind of support can you provide for specifications? I mean, like you said, you're in a kind of a niche market. So a lot of us have never specified something like this before. You know, and often there is more to writing a spec than just putting the product you want to use in there. That product is going to interface and interact with other things in your project.
Yeah.
And so what kind of support can you provide in that arena to make sure I don't screw it up?
Yeah. So we have, luckily, our design and project management team is super hands-on. So a lot of times, the start of the process will be even before anybody expects us. We have a wonderful project manager lead that talks with architects all the time that kind of gives a full understanding of, hey, this is our product. This has come with benefits. This is how we usually tell people to spec it in terms of making sure you include, you need to have an acoustic rating of blank. You need to have a fire rating of blank. You need to have a seismic rating that is above this. So I would say that just making sure you communicate, and we like to communicate all the time. The one thing our team says is just because you spec our project doesn't mean we're out of the process. We have an entire design team that walks through the process too, from first contact to even after it's built. So I would just say we just like to communicate, and we just like to make sure that everybody's prepared at all times.
Also, other people on the team may not be familiar with your product.
Yeah.
Would it be helpful to require more manufacturer's rep involvement at certain stages of construction to make sure that they're there to kind of make sure it's getting done right?
Yeah, it definitely can be. So the nice thing we do as well is we'll send representatives of our staff to job sites for specifications, and we'll work with them like when they're doing the construction, if that's what you mean, just to make sure everybody understands what our product is and understand how to utilize it.
So what about during construction? Project's being built.
Yeah.
Contractors, you know, going to be needing to put this system in. Mm. What are some of the mistakes that happen during construction that I should be aware of to keep an eye out for because maybe a contractor's not familiar with installing this system or another sub does something on their piece of the work that affects installing the system? What What are some of those pitfalls I should watch out for?
Yeah, we are definitely relying on plans. So we have a whole entire design team that maps up the entire floor plan top to bottom, including electrical, even if it's not ours, and including any border components, any ramps. So the biggest pitfall we see is when people skew away from the design that everybody agreed on, and then it's like, oh, this doesn't fit like it should because we didn't follow the plans. The nice thing we do have is anytime there's any issues in terms of, hey, our square footage was actually 2 square foot bigger than the other, so we're not going to have what we need, we send extra product. We have border components that kind of, like, we have an L-type border, an end cover. It kind of adjusts to where your needs are. So instead of having to, like, have everything inch perfect, it'll give you a little bit of wiggle room to kind of adjust for any building issues, any design issues, any design changes that are made on the fly. And then when it comes to the electricity and power, I would say the biggest thing is trying to run too much power in one of the channels. The nice thing about our system is we have everything mapped out so evenly, like every 19 and a half inches. So instead of having to kind of guesswork with all the design for electricity and data, if you follow the plan, it'll end up running smoothly. So I would just say communicating and following plans is our biggest thing we see that can go down.
I am curious about a couple things. These units or modules, yeah, or whatever you call them, that go into the floor, do those attach together? Or are they just sitting in there loose?
In terms of, like, the base units and channel plates?
Yeah. Or,
yeah, so they sit down by gravity, and then they have a locking system.
Okay.
So how it's installed is you put down all the base units first, and then you'll install channels and corner plates in a direction. So let's say you're starting at, like, the bottom left of your building. You'll install all the way to the top right, and the locking system allows you to have everything lock in place without moving around. But as soon as you take a channel plate or a corner plate up, you can pull some of the channel plates out, but not all of them. That way you don't have to worry about things moving around.
So I'm curious, how does your flooring go on this? I mean, I understand it's accessible, yeah, but, you know, people and desks and computers and all that stuff is heavy as well.
Yeah.
What happens on top of this once you've got this installed with your flooring system? How does that work?
Yeah, so on top of our floor, it ended up being something modular, like a carpet tile, LVT. And then we have three different seismic gratings as well, depending on the furniture that's going on top. So we have our regular grid system, which is 100 PSF. We have a reinforced, which is 250 PSF. And then we actually just came out with a reinforced plus system, which is, I think, maybe 6 months old. That's 650 PSF. So in terms of the weight, it depends on what you need, but it's not an issue. And then in terms of the carpet or LVT, we just suggest something like a slide adhesive or like a push adhesive where you can pick it up when you need to, but it'll slot right back down. And then in terms of just moving stuff, like, we have a desk on our setup right now at AA that you can access most of the carpet even without moving the desk. But luckily, it's easier to move a desk and pick up a floor with your fingertips than pull up an entire raised floor with a construction crew.
Interesting. I mean, since you're right across the street,
yeah,
from where I'm sitting right now, I mean, you need to go look at it again. So finally, what's new or exciting, or what did you in your last couple minutes like to really celebrate or share about Free Access?
I did just bring up the Reinforced Plus. I think that's one of our big wins of the last year or two. I think just giving architects, facility managers, anybody who is involved in getting the product in, more flexibility to get what their building needs. I think something that we strive to do as a company. It's really important for us that even though we are selling a product at the end of the day, it's not about that for us. It's about making sure our client is happy from beginning to end, and we still have a great relationship with them even when the product's already built. In terms of just other products, Grid Mobile has been out for a few years now, but it's something that we're still trying to work on every single day. Because having a mobile app that allows you to see underneath the floor without having to lift up the floor, it just makes everybody's life so much easier. And it makes the architect look even better because you're giving them an extra tool that they can utilize to make themselves look good.
Well, Kevin, thank you for agreeing to, number one, on the fly, come fill in a blank spot I had today. We're very much under the gun and with no pre-warning of the questions. And it was a great conversation, and I learned a lot in a very short period of time. And I appreciate you taking the time to spend with me here at AIA, and I hope you have a great rest of your show.
You too. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more, Visit rcat.com/podcast to see photos, details, and more related project and product information that we discussed today. While you're there, take a look around rcat.com. For over 30 years, RCAT has been the resource for AEC professionals to find the right products for their project. Try RCAT and see how their tools can save you time and money and help you get ahead on your next project. Visit rcat.com. That's ARCAT.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can support us by subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and sharing this with your friends. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back to share more stories and lessons learned to help you navigate your next project.